Welcome to Making Room, a podcast inspiring people to accelerate change by being a catalyst, honoring creativity, and acting with courage. We are making room for the greatest potential of our community. Welcome, you are welcome here. Welcome to this open door, dear. Our hands are reaching out for you. The floor is clear and we've made room for you.
Well, everybody, welcome back to Making Room. Today is just an absolute privilege and a treat to be here. If you're listening, you might not see that we're sitting in my living room at the house that I remember a couple years ago said it was built for community and to be a welcoming space. And I'm just really struck by how moved I am right now to welcome two of my best friends, two musicians, our entire team here today. This is so special. I'm sitting next to Brandon and Shivani, our co-hosts here at Making Room, and LP7 and Britt Drozda. It's just it's a welcoming environment. It's no accident. Y'all are our title song on the podcast, and we get to talk to you about your hearts, your music, and we start off every episode by getting ourselves centered, listening to the song, and it's a reminder, LP7, we talked about it yesterday, of just enjoying this process and enjoying each moment as we come into this. So it is an amazing day. It's great to be here. And, you know, LP7, we've got two musicians who this is like the second part of their career. They both recently recorded albums. Y'all got to check out their websites and bios, but bios for me are more who's the human, who's the human being. And I think early on, Britt, knowing you a long time, I've been really inspired by what you've done in your music career, how you've used it, how you've been a voice for so many people. I've watched a lot of men and women at your most recent concert start to look at how they could tap into their creativity. And when I see LP7, what you've done, when someone told me the violin is the closest sound to the human voice, and when I hear the violin in that song, I get emotional because you tap into people's souls with your music. So I just want to go right into there. And Britt, why don't we start with you, since you're, and for those of you watching or listening right now, she is in Palm Beach, but with us in spirit, is what brings you inspiration? And we talked some about how you had to really resurrect your career in a way with music, with your guitar, with piano, but what made you make that shift?
For me, you know, I've always been a poet. I think from the time I was little, ironically, I used to, instead of doodling during class, I would write poems to pass the time and get through the class. I was a major nerd, I guess you would say. And words have been so powerful for me. And music in and of itself has been a sort of therapy for me over the years. And I didn't really realize that until I kind of had set it aside for a little bit. And the inspiration truly comes from emotion and connection. And so when I feel something, or I witness something, or, you know, even a story is told to me and a powerful emotion strikes me, that's when I know a song is coming. And I got back into music when, you know, I had children. I had my son, and the powerful emotion of being a parent and trying not to wish time away and the complicated emotions that all came with it, that's kind of what just, I had to pick up a pen, I had to pick up a guitar, I had to sing. And that was, you know, and that's how it goes. I think there are certain days, I think an artist or a creative person, you have your major ups, you have your major downs. But the days where you feel something and you just have to sit at a piano or you just have to sing it and get it down, I always have my phone with me to just literally sing into my memos. Sometimes it's horrible. But sometimes
sing into memos too, but they tell me I can't play it.
For good reason.
Well, I, you know, that emotion really strikes me. And sometimes that's when I write, right? And yeah. And LP7, I've seen you, I've saw a video one time of you playing and a woman coming up and hugging you. And so I was just curious how, what you see in your process and how that shifted in your career to get back into what you're doing now and to have Double Dose released as of July 16th. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And just seeing how you use voice, you use the violin to create expression and elevate voice.
Yeah. So it was so fun and encouraging to hear you talk, Britt, because I can relate so much to what you said. And I think that's why we connect so well. Because when it comes to music, there's the skillful aspect, but then there's also the emotional, energetic, and connective aspect. And both of those are equally important for me. So the example that you brought up of, you know, I was playing at a farmer's market, and I was singing, I was playing violin, and at the very end, one of the vendors came up to me, and she just started to pour out her heart and express how deeply she was touched by what I was playing. And it wasn't even anything that I specifically played. It was just the spirit behind it. And I think that's, you know, what people long for. They long for an experience. They long for something they can feel deeper than just what they... of course, it's always great to hear something that's pleasing to the ear, a nice voice, you know, piano, guitar, violin, whatever it may be. But it's something so much more meaningful and impactful when you can walk away from that experience and say, my soul was touched. My heart felt that, you know. And so very similar to Britt, I was writing songs in childhood, and it was just always something that felt very spiritual for me. So, you know, I started playing violin around the age of 10. And during that time, I also started writing songs, and it all just kind of went along with my spiritual path. So it kind of just felt like they were automatically connected without me even trying to connect them, without me even forcing them to connect. They just were connected. And so also very similar to Britt, I took a break for a little while and did some other things in life. And then I came back, went back to school for music. And after I graduated, I was like, okay, now is the time for me to take all these songs that I've written and all this emotion and love within me and put it into my music. Mm. And thankfully, that's what I've been able to do, and it's just been a beautiful unfolding.
Well, yeah, so one of the things I would ask you, because I noticed you both talked about you've been doing this since you were a kid. Mm. And on our podcast, we have talked about kids are being born, and we talked about it's a recurring theme now mm-hmm. at this point, but kids are born with this innate creativity, this innate desire to create something to put out into the world. And then we sort of we stifle it or we funnel it into established means. And so I am very curious, just sort of in your life, who has been that person that either put that violin in your hand or said, oh, you can do the violin, let's get you that. Or Britt, just sort of who's been that in your life? Let's take those poems that you have on your notes and let's turn it into something.
I know for me, couldn't have been just one person who really fostered and nurtured my creativity. I mean, it was different people at different stages in my life who I was blessed to interact with, but also to hear. I think sometimes you can go through life and you look back and you're like, gosh, I really wish I would have taken that person in a little bit more because they did have so much for me. And that's just maturity, right? But, you know, so my parents, I would have to give a lot of credit to them. They are not musically inclined themselves, but they are very passionate music listeners. And they, you know, blessed me. My brother, who is older, I mean, he led the charge with his interest in music. And I think I kind of followed behind, but then completely fell in love with singing. And I was blessed with classical piano lessons when I was little, from the time I was 4 or 5. And to this day, I think that was probably one of the greatest gifts that my parents gave me. With writing, I had a wonderful teacher, I think like in the sixth grade, who saw me writing poems and just kept, she would take me out of class and tell me to write another poem and entered one of them into a competition for me. And I didn't even know that I really loved poetry that much until she came along. And
then
it's the little things. I'll tell you, like, I had little gigs, you know. I would be playing at a coffee shop, and you have those people who are like, you love music, you need to keep doing it. And there were times when I had put it aside where even just a Facebook message from somebody who I hadn't heard from in a long time being like, how's the music going? Are you still doing music? Don't give it up. You know, those things definitely forge forward.
My parents, for sure. My parents most definitely just continued. My mom specifically was very serious about me using my creativity. And she saw something in me before I even really realized like what was going on. So I've shared this on a couple different platforms, but you know, in school where I was growing up, I'm from Ohio, around fourth grade, they give you the option to pick an instrument, you know, and you have three lines where you can write your top three instruments. And I wanted to play the tuba. And my mom was like, no, you're not. You're not going to play the tuba.
She cut that out.
Yeah. She cut it
out
immediately.
That's when I was playing the flute. So.
And I think my next choice was like clarinet or something. So okay. I like really was like in the wind, woodwind, brass vein, you know. And then after that, I think it was like violin. And she was like, yeah, violin.
Violin. Wow.
Got it.
And so I, you know, I like, all right, you know, I was, right. I was a good child. I was an obedient child. And so I, you know, went ahead and did that. And, I say it this way because I mean it this way. I have, since being an adult, I have thanked her and forgiven her for what I'm about to share. She would essentially make me perform in front of people.
Oh, yes.
Like, my parents' friends or somebody would come over to the house, and she knew I had written a song because, like I said, I was writing songs, and I was writing songs, and then I was composing on violin. And she'd be like, "Yeah, play that song," and I'd be like, "I don't want to, I don't care, play it."
Right.
I'm like, "Why can't I just do this?" I'd be shaking, I'd be so nervous, and but you know, through that, I got through those nervous stages a lot sooner in life because I think, I mean, I don't know, Britt, how you felt in terms of when you first started, how your nerves were, but for me, they were through the roof to the point where when I would sing in front of others, my voice wouldn't even be the same because I was just so nervous. But I have to thank her for that because by the time I was a teenager, it didn't matter. I could sing in front of anyone, and for the most part, I wasn't too nervous, so... definitely have to just give credit there. And when I went back to school, which was from 2017 to 2020, I had some awesome professors who saw things in me and a lot of leadership type things. And I had a particular professor who encouraged me to apply for this internship. And the internship is through Project Harmony here in Charlotte. And it is a resource for second through fifth graders who may not have the resources to learn an instrument, whether it be a wind instrument or a stringed instrument. And I was able to be one of the string coaches through that program. And that opened the door for me to do other things with the Charlotte Symphony Youth Orchestra. And so I absolutely give credit to some of those professors there who trusted me enough and who saw that I had a heart for, yes, playing, but that connectivity, that connection.
That's great.
That's really great. You know, I am moved both by how both of you guys have given testament to your parents. It makes me think a lot about my own parenting and just making sure, you know, you notice things, but also then fostering the interest and potentially forcing them to do things that they don't want to do, like sitting in a class or performing.
Nobody forces me to sing.
I'm just kidding. But I love, you know, that early exposure is so huge, I think, for you know, many artists that I've heard that having those tools at your hands and then also the people, the voices to encourage you to do it is so important.
Yeah.
As well.
Definitely.
Mm. And that, you know, that hearing, that seeing that, Shivani, I was actually listening to an episode we're going to publish Wednesday, and we were talking Britt, this in some of our, in LP7 and our prep conversations about the creative process. And I was listening to you talk about cooking, which we know we might get some beans tonight.
I still haven't had that meal for anyone keeping track.
It's today.
Oh, tonight? Today's this big day? All right.
You get a little bit, but I was really struck by something you said, Shivani, is that you said, when I'm cooking, there's times where I don't want help, right? Like, I just want to be in the process of doing it. And I'm less concerned about the end result, but I don't want to be an air traffic controller in the kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious for, love to hear your response to that. And then from our artist as well, you know, because I think in this Western culture society, it's like, okay, what's next? Or how many songs? Like, what's your output, right? That's a function of our Industrial Revolution. And this sort of like, and we have felt it even here on the podcast of, oh yeah, one a week, all this cadence, boom, boom, boom. And I've called Brandy, our PR person, and Brian, who produces this for us sometimes, like, I want to enjoy this. Like, I didn't do this for this to not be fun. Like, right. that would be crazy. I got two of my best friends, like, even today we're sitting here, like, we get to do this. This is amazing, but there is that energy sometimes of, like, what will this become? What is this? So I'm just curious for you all, what are your practices? And, Shiv, we'll start with you because it was your inspiration to, you know, how do you settle into that and how do you remind yourself of, you know, I just want to keep going.
You know, I think from a cooking perspective, right, you know the rules. There's basic tenets of, like, how you might cook or how foods mix together or what heating does and what cooling does to food. But I'm one that I cannot follow a recipe. Even if it's the very first time I'm cooking something and a bunch of people are coming over, I will not follow a recipe. And my husband, it drives him crazy. He's like, you've never made this before? No, but I'll figure it out. It'll come together. But if you have those basic tenets, right, even in music, right, you have these basic rules and things that you've learned that set the stage, then the process becomes so much more beautiful because you're able to kind of work with your knowledge and then create along the way and mix different ingredients, pull out a spice that you might not have thought of using before or wasn't listed in the recipe, and build something based on, you know, what you've started with. And so oftentimes I'll start cooking and I have no idea what I'm making. I just start pulling ingredients out and I'll put things together. And the end result is usually good. I don't know, John could attest to that.
It's really, really good. That's why when I lived next door to her every night, I just showed up at 7 and said, what's going on? Why does John show up at 7 every night? I'm just in the area.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to eat? Oh, if you're asking.
Again, I'm left out here.
Yeah. You just have to move into the
it
neighborhood.
Is good.
I like it.
Yeah, but you know, I think at the end, it's this beautiful production of what you've been able to do, and the process is so healing, and it's so cathartic for me to be able to be in that kitchen in that space. And even still with my kids, like I do love to like own my space, but I also enjoy watching them create with me and kind of get their hands dirty and you know, mix the ingredients together and show their own interest, because I think that again fosters some of that early exposure to different types of arts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
To love, so for you all, like, how do you, because at some point, right, if this is your career, there are those things, but we'll start with maybe you, LP7. By the way, I love your shirt. It's so
Thank
colorful.
You. Thank you.
Happy.
Been feeling colors this summer.
Yeah, very happy. If you're just listening on audio, check it out on YouTube. We got both. double dose.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's kind of like what we're doing here.
We got both.
All right. I'm making myself laugh too much. So how do you stay in that process? And really, both of you and then Britt want to come back to you for the same question of that, just staying in your heart and your soul and allowing that to come through you in your music.
Yeah. I love how I heard this said. I was listening to a couple talk on YouTube, and they were talking about this idea of being selfish. Mm. And then the other person used the word self-full. Mm. And the concept, or what I took from it, was it's so very important to place your spiritual health first. Mm. When you place your spiritual health first, you have the opportunity to open up yourself to the world in ways that are more authentic, more loving, more just beneficial. And so I take my own spiritual, emotional, mental health very seriously. Mm. And so I just check in with myself every day. You know, I really care about how I feel. And as I'm present with myself, I'm also practicing how to be present with you and you right. and you and everyone that I connect with. So it's a practice that helps me to be as open as I can be, as healthy as I can be, so that when I'm, you know, making music, singing that song, playing that song, it's something that's more than just the notes. It's mm-hmm. more than just the sound.
Right.
It's a feeling.
Wow.
It's a presence. It's an availability. It's an openness. Mm. It creates spaciousness because I'm doing that within first, and then I can express that without. So that keeps me going. And just like Britt said, it's actually also a huge outlet for me. Music, when I write and when I perform, it tends to be one of two to three things. I'm calling something in to either to the room, to the atmosphere, to my life. I am trying to get something out. So I'm like, this is in me. I got to get it out. Or a combination of the two. And all of that, it just feels very healthy for me. Like, it really, making music is good for my health. Like, and I mean that legitimately. So, yeah, I would say that's how it is for me.
Can I ask you a follow-up question to that?
Sure.
So if you're checking in with yourself and you're just not feeling it that day, but you have to perform right. because you're an artist, what happens? Yeah. Do you have a way of
that's a good one.
Making yeah. things better?
Yeah. I'll be honest, that's been happening lately because I've been sick, and thankfully I'm so much better. But, I meditate.
Mm-hmm.
I try to, with meditation, I also try to, because meditation is more grounding for me, but then I also try to do something that gets my energy up.
Right.
So, you know, listening to something that's like,
yeah, upbeat.
Yeah, like this is getting me in my feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there
we go. Yeah.
Yeah, I was feeling that.
Get it, see?
Come on, my shoulders.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the shoulders.
Yeah, let's go.
Definitely I try to have both, you know, because it's kind of about that balance. So I try to do something that's going to ground me and be like, all right, you're not really feeling it. You're a little bit tired. You're this, you're that. All right. Accept it.
Right.
Boom. But it's go time. So now let's get this energy up. So that's kind of how I approach it.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. That availability, it just, you know, I've got to read you all this quote here. You know, I love quotes, and I can't believe, because Britt, this came, you know, some of what you had shared, and both of you honor this in your music, and this is a small quote and story from Dr. Pippa Grange. She is a coach around courage, and she's worked with rugby teams, she's worked with the English World Cup team, and does some really amazing stuff with soccer, and she was actually coaching a world-renowned trumpet player who was having a tough time to the question you just asked. And I'm struck by the fact that this came up in reading last night, and it was about surrender. And so this is a little interaction the two of them had. And Dr. Grange asked the trumpet player, "So how does the music get made?" I asked, "Do you make it or does the trumpet make it?" She considered this for some time. And this trumpet player said, "We make it together. It comes through me, but the music already exists. It just needs me to breathe and enable it to come to life." So Dr. Grange says, so the more open you are, the easier it is for the music to pass into the trumpet. So can you create together? Yes, yes, that's 100% right. It always flows best when I am open. I hadn't really considered it as creating together until now. Dr. Grange further says, so the onus for perfection can't really be on you and your ability to execute the music. It sounds more like your job is to stay open. It really is. And what do you want your audience to feel when they listen to your music? I want them to feel joy and energy and be filled with emotion. What a wonderful gift, she says. Could it be that they are also part of your creation? The trumpet player says, my audience? Well, yes, I suppose that if they don't feel the emotion, then there is a lost connection. If I'm fully connected to the music, the audience will feel it too. Thinking of your performance this way, how might you adapt this the way you look at fear?
So when you read that, it's funny that Shivani asked the question and you read that quote. You pulled as a passage that you pulled out, which was really great. But something LP7, you said stood out to me. And Britt, you sort of said this too about your parents, that you like, I don't know if I want to do this, and they push you out there. And I remember talking, John knows I do a lot of public speaking, and it's one of those things people say, oh, you're really good at. But someone reminded me recently, he's like, yeah, I remember when you were a little kid and you were standing up in front of this crowd and you did not want to speak, and your dad nudged you and said, no, you're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And I just, and that would happen recently. I was like, oh, I never appreciate him for that. I guess I'll thank him, forgive him and thank him for that, like you said. But it's the courage to put something out there, mm-hmm. right? And I'm curious how you, and I felt a little bit with this podcast, right? I feel like this is somewhat of a calling, something that needs to be said. This making room concept is just something that we need. I think, like you both said, the music that you feel that you put out there is either doing one of three purposes. It's not for acceptance. But at the same time, we live in this world where when you put it out there, so many people can throw darts at it. They can love it. You never know what the reaction is going to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how does that figure into your process and part of this, going back to courage, how does that figure into this process? Because it's not about how people receive it, but at the same time, you are being courageous and putting yourself, making yourself very vulnerable.
That's a big question. I love it because I do think, I mean, that's where the nerves come up from, right? For any performance is my nerves come from wanting to deliver my best self, right? And the best product that I can possibly put out there. But when you're talking about a creative art, that's the imperfections actually are what make something even better.
Right.
Because it's human, right? Mm. And I feel like, you know, when I was trying to get back into music, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm a mom now. Am I not supposed to be a mom and a musician? I don't see, there's some examples of it, but they started way before they had kids. Do I take that leap? What will my friends say? What do people think about it?
Right.
Those voices, yeah, you can listen to them and they can really build. And I have a song called Avalanche that's all about the power of fear and how much it can paralyze you and restrict you from putting that foot forward. But I can tell you that the outcome of putting yourself out there and doing something you believe in, I think ultimately I don't care if anyone likes a song, I truly care that it resonates with what message I'm trying to send out there, be it the emotional value or just sonically what I want something to sound like. And if I'm happy with it at the end of the day, then I know that I really, to be honest with you, I don't know how people are going to receive it or if it's going to fall into a genre category or how it's going to come across, but I know that I put my whole self into it. And I think LP7, you know, you were speaking about being present. And for me, it's been a goal lately whenever I perform, I want to feel fully present for each song, for each anecdote, for everything in that room. And I think missing performance because of COVID, missing those opportunities really allowed me to be present. And I think the same goes with the creative process. I know what it's like to rush a process because you're excited. You want to get your stuff out there. You want to say, this is what I've been doing, everybody. Like, you thought I wasn't doing anything with all that time, but I was doing something. But there are times where I've invested hours upon hours upon hours and found that I wasn't proud of what I put forward. You know, I wasn't proud of the outcome. But that's also, I've learned that embracing that part of the process, embracing the hiccups, embracing the things that you don't like, because it leads to the things that you do like, and it leads to just the growth. And it's taken me a while to get to this place, but I'm into the growth. I'm into having something come out a year ago and being like, eh, this isn't my best. I don't know how I feel about that.
Right. There is a... That is an amazing answer, and I hope our listeners realize that there's such broad applicability in that, and it's not, we're talking about the creative process. I'll say the creative process broader than most people define it, but we're talking about it in the context of making music. But this applies to any sort of tough decision you have to make in leadership and whatever it is you do and kind of your calling of purpose and realizing this is the path I'm supposed to lead. And I believe, and I'm putting myself, making myself vulnerable to be able to do this. So I hope there's just a lot of broad applicability in what Britt just said.
Yeah, what I heard too is that you can reflect and say, did I give it my all, and did my values and my emotion and heart come through this? And, you know, all you can do is do that, right? That's really all we can, you know, try to do as creators and artists. But if you're doing that now, if to me, when I put a product out or I've gone into something, we recorded a podcast episode, I remember early on, and I was super rushed and I didn't take care of myself and I didn't honor my own humanity. So I can look at that and say in my process, that's a growth opportunity. So that's why even today, you know, I went and rode my bike, you know, 40 minutes before we were getting started, and we listened to the song because those are things that really help. And I do think it does, to your point, Brandon, it does apply everywhere, but that it does take courage. And I think the three of us as our co-host team here, we have surrendered that there's something in us that we can't quite, you know, we can't quite articulate, and people, well, what's the business model? What's this? Like, I don't know. I just want to keep talking to awesome people. Let me just see what happens.
It feels good.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, and I love what you guys are doing because honestly, you know, having the opportunity presented to us, you know, I know LP7 and I really are so grateful for having had the opportunity to create something for, you know, this conversation, this movement that you guys are working on. It's very powerful, and the messages are really strong, and that's why there was so much to work with the inspiration. So, I mean, I really commend you all, and I love what you're doing. So, you know, I can't wait to hear all the upcoming podcasts.
Well, there is you probably heard a really impressive high school graduate now, Afuru Kolburu, on our episode. And she said, hey, this is a demo. Like, you're not just talking about it, you're actually doing it. And people at the time didn't realize even the song was a demo of what we're talking about, making room for someone else. I'm sure when John told both of you, hey, we need a song, I'm sure you're like, what? And then you probably thought up and saying, well, I can do it this way, do it myself. And then, Britt, you probably thought, I can do it this way and do it myself. And I think coming together, yeah, you probably sacrifice a little bit of your ordinary style, but together, it's just powerful. It's so impressive, and I think it resonates with all of us in a way we can't describe. I don't know why I listen to it 3 times a day, but I do, right?
It's not a shuffle, yes.
So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I would love to, you know, hear your version of this story of how it all came together because, you know, I'm sure our listeners want to know, but I want to know myself.
Yeah. Okay. So.
I think y'all got to start. Yeah.
Okay. So I was playing somewhere, Camp North End, actually. Okay. And one of John's friends, I guess, recorded me playing and sent it to
John. Who we're
John.
Interviewing later today. Yes. Daniel Valdo.
Daniel. Go, Daniel. Sent it to John, and within the hour, I had because this was all through Instagram, so I had a DM from John saying, hey, you know, my friend sent da-da-da-da, you know, would you be interested in maybe, I think it was performance at first, like a performance. So I'm like, yeah, cool. So we chatted. I don't know if it was like later that day or the next day or something. It was soon. And then it was like, we got on the phone about the performance, and it was like more than the performance, right? It was like, hey, let me fly this in, too.
That's typically how he operates. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Let's just get on the phone.
Yeah, he's like, hey, can you do a call? I was like, okay. So on the call, you know, we talked about the performance, but then it was also, hey, you know, I've got this podcast that, you know, and, You know, we've got Britt also, who I think it would be great if you guys could come together and just, you know, make this song for this podcast. And I'm like, okay. All right. You know, Britt and I haven't met. I love Britt and her craft and what I've seen, but we had never been in the room before. We had never even, I don't even know if at that point we had a real conversation, maybe exchanged a message or two, a comment or two on Instagram, but that was it. And so it was just kind of like, all right, cool. Yeah. You know, it goes back to that openness though, that openness to life and to creativity. And I'm a big believer that there are things that come your way. I'm sorry. There are things that come your way that you can feel resonance with. Even if there's a part of you that's like, oh, I'm not sure how this is going to work. There's a bigger part of you that's like, I'm down. Let's go. Like, I'm open. I know, like, hey, this is going to work out and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be great. So, we got on a Zoom call, and I think that's the first time I actually virtually met Britt. And we just, you know, heard out the vision of the podcast. And later that afternoon, me and Britt immediately started, like, sending messages back and forth. Britt immediately sent me lyrics, like, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, like, what? Yes, yes. Yeah, and I was like, okay, awesome. So do you have a melody? And she was like, not yet, but, you know, let me see. Within the hour, she sent me an entire, like, the entire, layout of the song. Wow. She had her verse. She had the hook, the chorus. She had the piano part. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Amazing.
So then when I heard that, like when I heard what she brought, I like to say that I just like supported it. So, you know, I created the instrumentation around it. I wrote my verse, and then her and I also got on the phone and we worked together with part of my verse and just kind of part of how we wanted things to flow. And we executed very well from a distance. I would do something, update it, send it to her. She would give me her thoughts, update it, send it to me. And we would just kind of go back and forth. And it was just a really supportive process. I mean, she was great to work with. And then we finally met in person here in your home, John. And it was just like, oh, I'm fangirling. It's Britt. We've done a whole song together. Exactly.
And
I'm just
meeting
you.
And I'm sitting here watching y'all practice like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my experience. We actually are talking about working on some other things together, and then
oh,
I got
really?
Sick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it kind of slowed our process down, but we are definitely working on some other things together now too. So thanks to you, John.
That's
great.
Yeah, and when you guys spoke of the word catalyst, you know, and I was reading over, you know, and listening to you guys, I mean, you guys really were the catalyst for this collaboration.
Definitely.
And I think it, you know, I am so grateful for it because it was such a fun process. It was challenging and also just so, I think, you know, this theme of openness, like, embracing that and walking into something and being like, well, I'll bring myself to this and I hope it works out.
Right.
And it, you know, it totally did. And I think, you know, LP7 was so, like, when I handed her, I'm like, I think these lyrics work. And she brought the energy of like, yes, they work. And, you know, having somebody to support you when you're questioning, you know, exactly the direction you want to go in with a creative process is like so invaluable. And so it was so much fun. And I feel like when I brought this, all of a sudden she sent me the produced version of it. And I was like, oh, my God. I had the best time. So I'm so proud of it. You know, we've talked about putting it out on a streaming platform and we're going to get going with that. And I definitely see us coming up with some awesome, awesome new music.
Oh,
so
that
I'm
would
looking
be great.
Forward to that.
Looking forward to that.
More. Yeah. And, you know, one, they want to feature me. So that's just a big surprise.
In spoken word, I think.
Spoken word.
Non-melodic.
Well, or in the thank
well,
you notes.
I will say Britt said her parents were great listeners. That baby, my craft.
I love that.
Yeah, I love
that's
that.
Great.
What I wanted to say, too, is that, you know,
you know, we kind of joke about how it came together, but I feel like that song was written before I even knew about it. And the only reason it happened was, you know, I sent that post, and then, Britt, I saw you commenting. So I already saw the sort of the spirit connection and the way your music works. And then I remember I called Brandy, our, as we call her now, the glue, the architect of our work at Ladelco, and I called Brandon, and I called Shivani. And Britt, to your point about encouragement, they could have easily been, because we were going gung-ho to them, oh, no, that complicates things, or let's just use stock music. But all of them said, no, that sounds awesome. Let's go, right? And so I'm someone who questions myself, too. So the reason this came together, I think, because Making Room and our team, we've brought a group of people together that really honor people's highest expression. And when you do that, sometimes things take hold. And it's a reminder to me, and Brandy and I will talk about this when we have our weekly calls. Like, we even talk to, should it be this artist or that? And, you know, I'm used to sometimes as a leader just, all right, let's just get something done. And I'm learning now there's this third way, which is there isn't an answer yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And whatever spiritual practice you have, for me, God in the Spirit has wanted me to be patient and exercise discernment to understand it's not yet quite there, or I'm not, or whatever I'm doing isn't ready. So when it was just like, yo, this is it. Right. And, yeah, we'll do something at the house, but how about a song, right? And so I just wanted to play. Let's see if we can do this here. This is the last part of our outro. And I think for all of us, when we hear the two of you just vibe in your different sounds, your different voices, you're just going, it is just, just want to play it and just get everyone's just quick reaction to what you hear and experience.
Join the Making Room movement
and get more info at makingroomwithus.com, or
it'll happen after you hear my voice or after Shivani.
Thank you for showing up for us and each other. Until next time.
You are wonderful and full of truth. Just as you are,
just as you are.
You are wonderful, so full of truth. Just as you are. Oh. You are wonderful, so full of truth. Just as you are, just as you are. You're welcome here just as you are.
Wow.
So good.
Wow, that's so good. That's so good. You know, I was joking. I'll be light and then I'll get serious. I was joking with someone when I was telling them about the podcast. Like, you got to stay to the end. It's like Marvel movies. You got to stay for the end credits. Like, it's that good. It's that good. But for me, and I'm curious what Shivani says too, and John, and I'm sure you have some deep thoughts too. For me, just kind of knowing how this came together, and knowing you're probably naturally two different genres, but you put it together and it's something that's powerful that brings in people who may not like one type of music or another, and then it feels like it's making room, it has the message, it embodies whatever we want to leave the audience with after we finish talking. I mean, to me, it's just, I listen to the very end every time, and I still get moved each time I listen to it, and so I don't know. I'm just so glad that you guys are here today. I can't wait to hear about the future projects.
I know. Yeah, I agree. I literally chills every time I hear it, especially the ending there. But I'm always so struck by not having met with you all beforehand. I know John had a conversation with you. You not having met each other and had, like, real conversation prior to it, you put together in lyrics and music so much of the sentiment of what this process is about, right?
That's right?
About community and about humanity and hearing and seeing people and being present for them and making space all through welcoming, right? Through the song. And the emotion comes through. And I also love the throwback beat as well. It's really fun to listen to. I listened to one of the episodes while I was grocery shopping one day, and I was like bouncing around in the grocery store, smiling, and everybody was kind of like, who's this girl? I loved it. It's amazing. It speaks so much truth to us.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it's when I hear that, and I would love to y'all's reaction. I just literally every time I get tears in my eyes, and I think it's just hearing y'all and knowing how it was done. And I think as we go forward in this process, you know, with Making Room, that's everything. It's like, how is it done? How is it made? Who did it? What hearts came together? What did they learn from each other? And see what else comes out about this. And, you know, I'd love to hear from other colleagues here just what you're walking away with. And the word I'm just walking away with is availability. And when you're available, you know, things, what's supposed to happen is going to happen. But it does take courage sometimes to be open and trusting. So kick it over to Blessed.
You stole my word. I was going to say openness. And, you know, sometimes I talk to younger people who ask me about getting into legal practice or career development. And I always say, before you say no, pause and think why you should say yes. And just don't say no at this point, right? And so I think that openness and being vulnerable, I'll use that word, is what I take away. Being comfortable with being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. You know, Britt, you just mentioned something about artistry being a collaboration. I think, again, in the broader speak of beyond performing music or creating music, but just in community work as well, right, that there is an art to that. And a lot of that is relying on that collaboration and seeing people and connecting with people and then making the room for people that is necessary to be able to hear those thoughts and experiences to create change.
Yeah. Mm. Well, when you hear the outro today, after you hear our voices, make sure you listen to the song. It's amazing. We are so excited to see what becomes of this partnership. Y'all inspired us in so many ways, and it's just been an absolute joy and a thrill to have your two spirits and hearts here today.
Thank you so much for having
Thank
us.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Welcome, you are welcome here. Welcome to this open door, dear. We see you out in the cold. We see you alone with your soul. On a stage with a dream gleaming. We see you tired and ragged, walking the wild earth. We see you finding a home. We see you. We see you.
wonderful, so full of truth. Just as you are, just as you are. You're welcome here just as you are.
We invite you to continue making room with us. You'll find this episode and all of our exciting and meaningful conversations on Apple, Spotify, or really anywhere you choose to listen to podcasts.
Join the Making Room movement and get more info at makingroomwithus.com or follow us on Instagram at Making Room With Us.
Thank you for showing up for us and each other. Until next time.
You are wonderful and full of truth. Just as you are.
Just as you are.
You are wonderful, so full of truth. Just as you are, just as you are. You're welcome here just as you are.